Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have Dr. Shay Blackstock. And Dr. Blackstock is an emergency physician. She is the founder and CEO of Advancing Health Equity, which has a primary mission to engage with healthcare and related organizations around bias and racism in healthcare, with the goal of mobilizing for health equity and eradicating racialized health inequities. During COVID-19, she used her social media platforms to share her experiences and concerns as a physician working on the front lines and on racial health disparities and inequities exposed by the pandemic. She is best known for her work amplifying the message on racial health inequities and her media appearances speaking on the COVID-19 pandemic. She has been featured on Meet the Press, PBS, NewsHour, Slate, Forbes, and many other publications. Ushe, it's so good to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Keisha. I'm excited to be here in conversation with you.
Absolutely. Before I dive into your story and questions, I just want to tell the audience why this is so meaningful for me, this interview, and having you here as a guest. Now, many people know my husband died of a very rare illness called pheochromocytoma, and it was very sudden, very tragic. But what a lot of people don't know, because I don't get into that so much in Holistic Wealth in that book, is that the night he went into the emergency room, he was critically ill. Like, he was obviously, you know, near death. And in the triage system, they pushed through a lot of other people who were less critical, who did not need the attention that he needed. And so by the time they got to him, he had minutes left and he died on the CAT scan machine of internal bleeding because the tumor had erupted. And I'm telling you from where I'm sitting right here that I know that medical racism played a part in that. I've been working on a memoir laying that part out of my life, which has been entirely just really painful. And so in Holistic Wealth, I didn't get a chance to speak about that. But this is why health, racial equity means so much to me personally. I'm also a maternal near-miss survivor. I almost died in childbirth, like so many Black women at age 27. So this episode is very meaningful for me. And Ushe, I can't imagine you in the system seeing this every day, walking it with patients and seeing it in the system. What was that like for you?
So, you know, to be honest, it's a combination of my own lived experience as a Black woman, as a Black physician, right? And then taking care of my patients, right? So all those different perspectives inform how I feel about the system. And it was based on what I had seen in my own practice that motivated me to found Advancing Health Equity, because it's so clear to me that, as you said, medical racism, it exists. And what's even more is that there is, you know, there's racism even within the workplace of the healthcare system. So it impacts Black healthcare professionals too. But I think, and I know, the biggest impact is on our patients. Right. So it was very important for me to be able to work with organizations around developing a diverse, racially inclusive workplace environment, because I know ultimately that trickles down in how patient care is delivered. And we also talk about with my clients about how do you provide racially competent care, racially equitable care, because the fact is that the racism is so deeply embedded. I mean, when you look at just the history of medicine in this country and thinking about the experiments that were done on enslaved people, enslaved men and Black men and women, right? And so it's just so much a part of the system, and there's been no self-reflection at all until we get incidents like the murder of Mr. George Floyd, when organizations say to themselves, okay, I guess we have to think about racism. Right. But and I think like what you just gave that perfect illustration. And so it's also so painful. But when you have racism in medicine, that means lives lost.
Absolutely. And as you're talking, I'm remembering that night when we were there and his death. And so from a triage perspective, I know it's completely, because that part of it for me is just like, well, this is where I think we can lose the most lives if we're not careful, if we're not. And so this is why the work you're doing is so, so important. Now, in 2019, you left NYU and you left the faculty. I think you wrote an op-ed about that, right? And you outlined issues of sexism, racism, toxic work culture that so many women of color, Black women have to deal with on a daily basis. It's unbelievably hard to do. And I can't imagine, you know, you going into medicine thinking, I'm here to make this difference. This is my life's work. Your mom was a physician. And you grew up seeing her working in the trenches and doing the work. And I know we grow up thinking we're just going to go out there and make this huge difference, right? And then.
Yes. And actually you saying that, I'm getting goosebumps, because now I'm also working on my first book, which is a memoir. And I have a chapter where I really reckon with the fact that, you know, here I thought I would make this big difference in medicine, but you don't realize. And even with a mom as a physician, I didn't realize that the barriers were almost insurmountable, because it's just been embedded, the racism and sexism, for so long in the institution of medicine. And so I had been in academics for almost 10 years. And of course, early in my career, I noticed I was the only Black faculty in my department for much of the time I was there. And this is an emergency department in the middle of New York City. What is your excuse? The most diverse city in the world. And then, you know, I was still just trying to do my work, trying to get a name for myself. And I was appointed a diversity, equity, and inclusion leadership position. I was handpicked for this position. I was so excited about it. But you know what? I recognized very early on that they just wanted me to be a figurehead. They actually did not expect me to do anything. But when I started to do the work, when I started to have a voice, when I started to be vocal about issues, I became a threat, and I was silenced and I was muzzled. And I think that's an experience many Black women have had in the workplace. And so I had to ask myself, can you stay in this environment or do you have to leave? And to me, that was like the clearest answer. It was no, I have to leave. And what I recognized was that toxicity is pretty much similar wherever I would go. You know, it may vary to some degree. Some places may be more toxic than others. But I realized just at that point in my life, I needed to get out. I needed to get out of this environment and to carve out my own path. And what that looked like was starting my own company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you mentioned too in your Essence article that you recently wrote, which was amazing. I mean, it was such a good article in terms of why you had to leave. You were going through a divorce as well. And so you laid out that as a mom, like this was just untenable. And I think so many women have experienced that during COVID-19, and so many Black women too, who are straddling. It feels like you're straddling two worlds. You go into the office, you put on a different persona, you come home, it's a different persona. It just gets tiring and exhausting. You have kids, you're dealing with bias, racism, sexism, everything. So I love that mom perspective, Uche. And I can't imagine, your life must have been so busy as a physician.
Oh, so yeah, it was.
What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was so busy. And I don't think I even appreciated at the time. At the time, I knew I was busy. But now looking back, I don't even know how I managed to, you know, I was doing clinical shifts. I had multiple leadership positions. And what I say is, I always say is, from the outside, people would say she had it all. I was deeply unhappy because I was not able to show up authentically at work. I didn't have the support I needed at home, right? So I was trying to juggle all of this. And I think wondering how long can I do this for, right? And then also feeling boxed in by these expectations that we have of ourselves, that our family has of us, that society has of us as well. And reckoning with that. And deciding that, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. This is my life. I have to live it for me. And I have to make changes where So I feel like I can thrive, not just survive.
Absolutely. And so many women listening in right now are at that point where we're thinking, or they're thinking, like, I know what society is thinking, especially as Black women, you know, we're brought up to really be ambitious and to be the torchbearers in our families and to carry the next generation forward. And I know so many women who are listening in who are thinking that's exactly at the crossroads I'm at, that, you know, you just mentioned. And the points that you brought forward are so important. Those are some of the things I also talk about in Holistic Wealth. And so I'm eager to hear, Ushe, what it was like with setting up your company now and the work that you're doing to try to solve these challenges, which are so important. These are life and death challenges. And so I'd love to hear about the work that you do and some of the focus that you have now, especially during COVID-19. We see mask mandates being lifted. We see all sorts of things happening. And it's just unbelievable.
I know. But what I will tell people is, you know, often, and I know your listeners can relate to this, but often the path is not a straight one. And so when I left my job in academics to focus on my company, I was working part-time in urgent care. The other time I was spending on my company. And it was the first few months of 2020, and things were going really well because my urgent care job was pretty relaxing, and I had the time to focus on my company. And then the pandemic hit. And what happened was my business everything went sideways because my clients were trying to figure out what to do. So business stopped coming in. And then I started seeing so many patients at urgent care, they needed me to work more. And so when I was there and after I left academics, I said, I did not leave academics to become an urgent care physician. I left to focus on my company and eventually to work on it full time. But you know what? I stayed the course and I still did the work that was important to me, and that is health equity work. And so what I did was I started writing about what I was seeing in the COVID-19 pandemic. I started writing within the first week or two that I was seeing mostly Black and Brown patients in my urgent care, that it had shifted rapidly and that I was concerned that Black and Brown communities were going to be the most impacted. So I started writing op-eds and I would send it out, and Slate was one of those places I sent it. And they said, you know what? We love your op-ed, but we'd love to interview you instead. And so there was this Q&A that they did on me, a profile, and it basically put me on the map during the pandemic. I became that person that you go to talk about health equity, right? And then, of course, George Floyd happened. And after that, we started getting a surge in business for advancing health equity. So we became very busy, and we've been very busy ever since. But I just want to, you know, make sure your listeners understand is that, you know, there are going to be bumps in the road, but you stay the course, you do the work that aligns with you, that aligns with your values and your passions. And now all the work that I do with Advancing Health Equity, we work with a variety of healthcare organizations. We go in, we do organizational assessments around racial equity, interviews, focus groups, surveys, and we work with them to come up with strategies and a strategic plan for the future of the organization so that they can become anti-racist. And so I love the work that I'm doing. Of course, I'm always thinking about what's next, but I see some optimism, and I see that there are some organizations that are prioritizing this work, and that it's not just a matter of, you know, it happens every now and then, that it should be a constant, consistent commitment to racial equity and ending racism.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so, like, you know, I'm just going back because you show so much perseverance, determination, and this energy. And you suffered the loss of your mom at a young age, and you were in your sophomore year. That must have been difficult, just listening to you and how far you've come. And what got you through that? How did you cope with that? Was it her legacy that propelled you on? What was it that, you know, got you through that time?
I can't even believe, looking back, there's so many things I would tell my 19-year-old self. And I think what I would tell them is that, you know, you're going to be okay. I know that this is so hard right now, but it'll get better. And I think multiple things got me through that. You know, one is just my mother was a wonderful person, a nurturing mother, a committed physician. She really grounded my twin sister, Oni, and me. And so we were very clear on kind of like what was important to us. So that was one. But two, having my twin sister, like literally having someone who understood the pain of losing one of the most important people to you. And we were so close, and we supported each other through that. We really did. And then three, I think it was, you know, continuing her legacy, knowing that her life had been cut short. She was only 47 years old. She was in her prime, right? And so knowing that the baton had been passed on to us, and we needed to continue her legacy. I mean, all the work my mother did was in Black communities, taking care of Black people. She was very interested in eradicating racial health inequities, all the things that I care deeply about that I got from her. So my sister and I, we are both, my sister has her own company too, Health Justice. So we are continuing the work that our mother did and hopefully doing it in a way that makes her proud if she was here.
I'm sure she would be so proud. I mean, just listening in, I'm just so happy that, you know, her legacy lives on through you and your sister and all the work you're doing, which is so important. And so I just want to divert a little bit, Uche, to talk about, because you talked about your business and setting it up and the bumps in the road and to getting to this point. And lots of guests that we have talk about, you know, the quiz that was developed. And it's amazing the insights that we've been able to get from guests as they talk about their personal financial identity. And I know you did the quiz, so I'm eager to hear that too, your results and how that manifests in your life, you know, in terms of your philosophy. And I know it must have impacted how you set up your business, how you run it, and how you run your life and manage your life. So can you share with us what your results were and any insights that you have or any thoughts that you have while you were taking it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no. So my result was that I was a minimalist. And so what I see from that, though, is, you know, I think for me, money has always sort of been an enigma. And I think part of it was because both my parents grew up in very humble beginning. I mean, they grew up in poverty, both my parents, my father in Jamaica, my mother in here in Brooklyn, New York, about 15 minutes where I'm from. And when my dad came to the States, he had a whole series of odd jobs and finally found a job that he had for like most of his life. And then my mother was the first person in her family to go to college. But even despite that, in medical school, but even despite that, I felt like money was always tight and it was always a source of friction. And so I think for myself, what I see is leaving academics and starting my own company has been very liberating. And it's also been financially liberating, but I'm still incredibly organized about almost everything I do in my life, and especially my finances. So, you know, I have my clear goals, financial goals that I have. And I want to make sure I get those accomplished, and I structured things so that that can happen. But I also really like doing nice things for myself. So I still will splurge on a vacation or on an outfit or shoes. You know, like I don't deprive myself. But I think it's a journey. Like, you know, now I'm a minimalist. I don't know how I'll be in 5-10 years. I think probably fundamentally I'll stay the same. But I think it was very refreshing to take the quiz and to see where I fell. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's so refreshing to always hear the results, because then guests will talk about their childhood and their background, and it will open up a new conversation around that, right? And around our history and our parents. And, you know, we both have roots in Jamaica, and we both have roots as coming from an immigrant background, an immigrant family, which is also something very dear to me, because, you know, even during COVID-19, of course, like you saw the impacts too on various immigrant communities and access to healthcare. And I mean, in Canada too, where I am, so many immigrants were affected, not even having access to healthcare. Some immigrants who were here temporarily didn't have the types of cards, you know, like healthcare cards they needed or access to doctors. Some of them didn't even have a primary healthcare physician. And so when COVID hit, it was unbelievable, the fallout. And I know you know that personally. So Uche, like, what solutions do you see going forward? You know, and I know you're a part of that in terms of your thought leadership around it, your company, the work you're doing. Where do we go from here?
So one thing that we talk to our clients and when I give talks, I tell them that a lot of the solutions are not just necessarily healthcare related. So yes, we definitely want to make sure people have access to healthcare. We want to make sure that they have access to quality healthcare as well. But it's also about investing in Black communities, right? And what that looks like is making investments in housing so that people have an opportunity for home ownership and to accumulate wealth, that people have an opportunity for a quality education, because we know what happens in our communities. We know also that, especially in the US, there have been federal policies like redlining that have led to underinvestment in Black communities, which leads to less property taxes going to schools, resulting in poor education. So education is important, making sure that we are creating job opportunities for Black communities so people can have a job where they can get promoted, they have paid sick leave and benefits. So we know that all of those we call the social determinants of health are incredibly important to creating healthy communities. So yes, healthcare is important and we need to improve access to that. So increase insurance coverage and make sure that there's engagement with the community. But we also need to think about these other factors and how we can use policy to implement change.
Everything you're talking about so intertwined. And that's why I remember when, we were thinking about turning that article that I wrote to a book and they wanted me to write a money book. I said, no, like it has to be holistic wealth. It has to embody everything you just said. Because as a woman, a Black female, who's been through everything you've spoken about, including my husband's death and going through the system, we have to look at this more holistically for sure. And so, Ushay, like you're in the midst of writing your book now, and I want to hear, because I think it's out next year, right? Okay, perfect. So we'll all look out for that next summer and look forward to potentially having you back on the podcast then when it's out. That would be amazing. Absolutely. And so where can listeners find you? Like on social media, your website, your company, where can they find you?
So they can find me. I'm on Twitter at Uche, U-C-H-E-E underscore Blackstock. I'm also on Instagram at Uche Blackstock MD. And then your listeners can visit the website for Advancing Health Equity at www.advancinghealthequity.com.
Once again, it was so lovely having you here. I so enjoyed this conversation. I mean, it's something I could talk about all day. But thank you so much for joining us. It was amazing having you here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.